From freenations.net, David Cameron, fascist or fool? For a man as ignorant of history, ideologies, geopolitics, German imperialism and European fascism as David Cameron, his arrival at his fanatical support for the most dangerous movements in European history is more criminal stupidity than fascist malice. But a fascist is a fool with a thirst for power. And whether a fool or a fascist, David Cameron is the most dangerous Prime Minister since Edward Heath. When confronted with the most nation-destructive Lisbon Treaty, Cameron promised a referendum of the sovereigns, the British people. When he got to power, he reneged on the promise. For him, the corporate state and its power to profit was more important than the 800-year-old constitution of the British people. The remarkable ease with which terrorists who've killed 160 people in Paris and Brussels could travel within the EU's borderless Schengen countries alarmed everyone in Europe. But David Cameron said it was inappropriate to discuss the changes to the borderless, profitable, free movement of people across Europe's national borders. On returning from one of his many jaunts to his EU colleagues, Cameron was becoming increasingly concerned with the strong showing of the Leave the EU campaigns. After all, he'd made a lot of enemies in the EU by just pretending to secure fundamental changes to Britain's relationship with Europe, and his fellow countrymen were being remarkably ungrateful. So he told his MPs that when deciding whether to vote leave or remain, they should ignore their voters, because of what your constituency association might say, and decide what is best for the country. As if the voters and the country were two entirely different things. But of course, to a corporatist, a statist and a Euro-federalist, devoted not to democracy but to power, like Cameron, they are different things. A corporatist party is precisely what Cameron and his fellow public schoolboy Osborne have turned the Conservative Party into. A party in which the big business right and collectives of the left, charities, unions, the BBC, set the agenda. A party well suited to kowtowing to the corporatist fascist system which the EU represents. The EU was, after all, founded by corporatists and leading fascists. See the UK column video on this site, freenations.net, and my books, Europe's Full Circle, Fascist Europe Rising, and Into the Fire. Of course, Cameron learned a lot from the EU and its democracy-destroying treaties, where the principles were ignore the people and parliament, sign treaties under treaty law which destroy the internal constitution of the country and demand that Parliament ratifies it because MPs can't overturn an international treaty, and when the people vote no to a treaty, they are ignored and told to try again until they get it right and say yes. When was asked to prove his Euroscepticism, Cameron said only that he opposed further integration into the EU state, accepting the fatal destruction already achieved. It's difficult to think of an attitude more akin to European fascism of the 1930s and 40s than Cameron's attitude to his own people and country. Is he a fascist or just a fool? On the day in 2013 that Croatia, that most blatantly fascist of modern European states, with a genocidal record in the Second World War and continued display of affection for the fascist years 1941-45, see articles on freenations.net, Cameron went to the former Soviet Republic of Kazakhstan and urged that NATO and the EU should push even further eastward to include such republics. He called for the EU's writ to run from, quote, the Atlantic to the Urals. That's even further east than Hitler achieved by 1942. One of Adolf Hitler's greatest imperialist slogans of the 1930s and 40s was Der Drang nach Osten, the push to the east, and his hatred of Slavs, Jews and Gypsies has been duplicated in the obnoxious elements armed and supported by NATO and the EU in their breakup of Yugoslavia and their recent attack on the Ukraine. Cameron could therefore not have communicated a more aggressive Hitlerite message to the peoples of Eastern Europe and Russia. I've spoken all over Eastern Europe in the last 20 years describing the corporatist, fascist and above all German imperialist nature of the European Union. In Tbilisi, Vienna, Belgrade, Prague, Warsaw, Lublin and Krasnodar, and wherever the fear of the new form of Western fascism and imperialism is crystal clear to those who recall vividly the last time such powers prevailed. Sheep's clothing does not fool the East European, as it so patently does the British MP. It's difficult to believe that someone with a first-class honours degree from Oxford University could say to the students of Kazakhstan, quote, "Our vision of the EU is that it should be a large trading and cooperating organisation that effectively stretches, as it were, from the Atlantic to the Urals," end quote, when anyone with half a brain knows that the EU does not tolerate free trade, does not tolerate independent countries, sees people not as belonging to homelands but as itinerant units of production, believes not in cooperation between nations but in constitutional takeover and control by the country called Europe. But trotting out the tired old Foreign Office line that the more countries join, the less centralised and controlling the EU will become, Cameron read an old script. The policy was laughable 20 years ago, but today it is moronic. For the more the EU has expanded, the more catastrophic it has become, and the more that catastrophe is used to justify more central power. NATO broke its own constitution to turn from mutual defence to supranational aggression in the Balkans and celebrated a self-given right to intervene in the East, breaking up countries established under the post-First and Second World War treaties and engineered colour revolutions in countries which had freed themselves from Soviet control and were becoming slowly self-governing. They had to be stopped. This chimed well with the long-standing German agitation in Eastern Europe and the formation of the German-dominated European Union with its citizenship and constitution-destroying treaties, all enabling claims for Germans to return to their homes in the East. So, Cameron's aggressive remarks in Kazakhstan would be as welcome in Berlin as they were abhorrent in Moscow. They did, of course, herald the attack by NATO and the EU on Ukraine in 2014, exploiting Nazi gangs in the streets of Kiev and bringing old Ukrainian Nazi heroes like Stepan Bandera back to symbolic life, with a leader of an extreme nationalist Ukrainian party shaking the hand of the German foreign minister, all supported by David Cameron. For a man as ignorant of history, political ideologies, geopolitics, German imperialism and European fascism as David Cameron, his arrival at his fanatical support for the most dangerous movements in European history is more criminal stupidity than fascist malice. But a fascist is a fool with a thirst for power, and whether a fool or a fascist, David Cameron is the most dangerous Prime Minister since Edward Heath. By Rodney Atkinson of freenations.net. Visit there to find out more about Rodney's writings and even buy some of his books to find out more about the EU state under which you are a citizen.